Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man, getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Shane Warren, is red hot for the Messiah. Now, Shane, most people don't realize it, but you point out there's a war going on to rob people from having their intimacy with God, to rob people from being able to do the same works that Jesus did and even greater, to rob people from hearing God's voice, rob people of their destiny. And I think most people don't even realize that there's a satanic resistance going on. Explain that.
Well, Sid, I can't explain everything. There's tons of keys in this area in the book that I've written. But let me just give you and the listeners a couple things that the Lord spoke to me. First of all, the Lord took me to Exodus chapter 32, and he showed me that when Moses was on the mountain and he comes down off the mountain with Joshua and the people are in the valley, the Bible says they're worshiping a golden calf which they built. And the scripture says that Joshua turns to Moses and says, Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And the Spirit of the Lord showed me that worship in the atmosphere sounds like warfare to the spirit realm. All they were doing was walking up and kissing that calf and playing their instruments and dancing and celebrating, but it sounded like warfare in the atmosphere. Then what happens is Moses stops. He takes a moment. He listens. And he said, no, it's not the sound of those who shout because they got the victory, nor is it the sound of those who are shouting because they're in defeat and they need God's help. He said, this is simply the sound of singing. Moses was able to discern what was real worship and what wasn't worship. And what happens is people come to church, or in their personal time, they just sing or they just clap or they just go through the motions, but it's not real worship. The problem, the dilemma is, and I talk about this in detail in this book, the dilemma is when we gather together and we lift up the sound of praise and worship through song and clapping and all of these other things, we send a sound into the atmosphere, which is the sound of warfare. It activates the spirit realm. This was my purpose behind writing this book. I got tired of going to churches all over the world, and they would worship, and they had no clue of what was going on in the spirit realm. And before we can move in the area of the supernatural, we have to have a discerning of spirits to know what kind of spiritual activity is going on in the atmosphere so that we can access what God's doing and resist what Satan is trying to do. So worship literally is a warfare tool.
I mean, you know, I've noticed pastors that will, while worship is going on in a Sunday morning service, they will be worshiping God, but more than worshiping God, they are listening. What does God want for this service? They may have a whole program, but if God wants something different, they're willing to scrap it. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. It's exactly what I'm saying. And even in greater detail, people just don't know how spiritual the act of worship is. I mean, we think of something that is something we do just in the physical realm, but there's something spiritual that's really going on. For example, over in the book of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, when he's talking about the worship service, 1 Corinthians 11, he says, when women come to church, he said they need to be careful how they come with their head covered because of the angels. Now, he's dealing with a customary thing there that was going on in Corinth about head covering, so we'll lay that aside. Let's look at the greater picture here. He's saying that when we come to church, we need to be careful how we come, because when we start worshiping God, angels are in the atmosphere. So we know that good, righteous angels, God-working angels, ministering spirits are sent from God on behalf of those who are the heirs of salvation. God sends his angels into the atmosphere when we start worshiping to bring our miracles, to bring our breakthroughs, to bring our healings, to bring our deliverance. But most people are just there going through the motions. Sometimes I wonder if God kind of just steps back and listens for a moment and says, you know, it's not those who are shouting because they need my help, and it's not those shouting because they got the victory. It just sounds like a bunch of singing going on. That's all I hear. And we miss out on these grand opportunities with these spiritual encounters with God and with his heavenly host because we don't even know they're there. But they're there in the atmosphere when we worship.
You talk about the sound. Sound is so important. When you worship, you like to make a lot of sound. Explain what is going on when you're making sound.
Well, it's really important for the listeners. And again, this is something we discuss in a book. I talk about symphony, creating a symphony on the earth. A sound has to be released on the earth for something to be released in heaven. There has to be this activity. This is the reason there's no such thing as a silent praise. Praise is the fruit of our lips, giving him thanks. And whenever you exert that or release that sound, if you will, sound has it can put pressure on things. For example, if I had a woman here and she would a soprano and she hit a high enough note, she could break glass. It wasn't the note that broke glass. It was the pressure from the note. And when the people of God begin to release the sound of the righteous, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When they release the sound of the righteous, that sound puts pressure on the atmosphere. It puts pressures on our enemies. It releases things in the heavens. And we have no clue about this. We're totally ignorant to some of these very simple principles. The bad thing is they're all in the Word of God. In my book, I just enumerate all of these different places in the Word of God. I can prove that to you, how sound puts pressure on things.
Just a little bit. Do that.
Okay. For example, Psalm 68, verse 1, the Bible says that let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Well, we know how we get God off the throne is through praise and worship. I show that in my book in detail. Genesis 49, verse 8 says, the hand of praise, the hand of Judah, will be on the neck of his enemies. When a person praises God and worships God, releases a sound, that sound literally almost is like putting your hand on the neck of your enemy and choking him out. You can literally, Sid, praise your way out of everything and praise your way into everything. You can praise your way. Praise puts so much pressure on the enemy, he can't stand it. It literally chokes him out.
Now, you do talk about a symphony. Explain that. That's great teaching.
Well, in my book, I talk about the word symphony. You know, the scripture says in Matthew, where two or three are gathered together in my name, it's the Greek word symphone. Symphone means to agree. Phone literally means a note or sound. So what happens is when we as believers come together and we agree with a sound, it releases something in the heavens. That's the reason the Bible says, whatsoever you'll bind on earth will be bound in the heavens. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in the heavens. Something has to take place on the earth for something to take place in the heavenly realm.
Now, when I became a believer, it was the beginning of the charismatic movement. And I used to go to meetings, prayer meetings, and they would start singing in the Spirit. And I remember that was one of the most phenomenal, amazing things I'd ever seen in my life. People that didn't even know each other's names started singing, and it became a symphony. It was better than any artist could have or conductor could have put something together. The melodies, each one singing in the Spirit, all blended into one. Did you experience that?
Oh, absolutely. I've experienced that numerous times. And just like you.
But I haven't seen it much lately. Why is that?
Well, in our desire to be seeker and friendly and to not want to confuse people, in our desire to try to explain the unexplainable, we have literally relegated the Holy Spirit out of our services, out of our expressions.
In your church, do they sing in the Spirit like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Sid, that word symphony means to agree with a note, but it also has another meaning, to cause to shine, to bring forth light. Whenever we create these symphonic sounds on the earth as believers, it brings light. It releases light into the darkness. The way you get darkness to flee is to, again, bring this symphonic sound where everybody's coming together, every tongue, tribe, kindred, and nation. We do not have to sing in unison, but we do have to create a harmony.
From your living in the Spirit, living in the throne room, you say it's possible to live there 24/7. I'm wondering if you could tell me the short version of the woman that you slapped on the back 7 times.
Well, I was preaching in the southern part of the United States, and there was a lady that was up in the balcony. While I was preaching, I just felt led again to pray for people who had illnesses. They brought her down. This lady was a Hispanic lady, could not speak English, and the Lord spoke to me to lay hands on her. She said she wanted to be prayed for because she needed strength. So I laid my hands on her, and I began to pray with her. She collapsed to the floor. I turned to walk away, and all of a sudden, I felt God say, hit her in the back 7 times. Before I even knew what I was doing, I turned around, started slapping her in the back 7 times. On the 7th time, she stood up, totally cold in the face, no expression at all, turned and walked away, went back up the balcony, and I thought, man, I have absolutely missed God, and I've killed this meeting.
I thought you killed her, but go ahead.
Well, I did too. It's the first thing. After just a little bit, I noticed while I was preaching again, she was stretching and turning and bending over, and I knew God had done something. I said, please bring that girl down here. Tell me what's going on. The girl comes down out of the balcony, and through the interpreter, here's what she said. She said, this young lady has had back surgery 6 times, and she's scheduled this coming Tuesday for her 7th back surgery. And when you hit her the 7th time, she said that her vertebrae popped from her tail all the way up to the back of her neck, and she says she's healed. There's no pain.
Whoops, we're out of time, but I'm going to tell you something. Shane believes that you will be able to do the same things that he does based on what God gave him, the keys for unlocking the heavens. It's the brand new book and the 3 CDs available for a gift of $40. To place a credit card order for today's offer, call anytime at 1-800-447-2697. That's 1-800-447-2697. Or log on to our website at www.sidroth.org to hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural. Visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. Call 1-800-447-2697. Or log on to our website to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter or materials catalog. I really want to mentor you monthly to walk in the supernatural of God. Log into our website and get information on how you can join our mentoring clubs by becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim. You can write me at Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. That's Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.